Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, following the show on the social media sites linked below, and just being a great listener, being consistent. I appreciate it. I love it. The numbers are amazing, and I am just so blessed to have you guys here. That's why I do it, just for you guys and how beneficial it is to you. So please drop me a line. You can drop me a line. That's such a stupid phrase. Give me you can reach out to me at matthowtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent, or you can just link below. And I'd love to hear from you and how this show has been helping you. That would be amazing. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Over to fightlaughfeast.com. Become a member. Put in HTBT in the memo field, just like it says on this mug. And you will get a mug just like that mug for free. And you'll get all the other benefits that come along with the membership. And you will be partnering with us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. And you get to be part of what the Lord is doing. Part of being successful is being a good steward of your money. Part of being a good steward of your money is not losing your money to fraud. So we're going to talk about today 12 popular ways that fraud happens nowadays so that you could be aware of it. And it's kind of fun to go through and see the creative ways these criminals have duped people out of their money. In a lot of these instances, it's in the billions of dollars. And I have actually been victim to a few of these. We'll get into in a second. Well, actually one of them a few times in the last year or so. We'll get into that. And I just have a little fun fact too. 30 million people have been victims of fraud. And if you think about also like passwords being hacked and those kinds of things for social media sites, I'm sure it's a lot more. You get those alerts all the time if you are a LifeLock member, which I would highly recommend you doing, by the way, and they are not a sponsor of the show. Man, I give out so much free advertising on the show, it's ridiculous. LifeLock is a good investment. I have it for my whole family, including my kids, because you know what? Your kids can have their identity stolen as well. Before we get into the top 12 or 12 of the popular ways to have fraud and the schemes that they are, I love that word schemes. It makes it sound so bad. And really, the word scheme doesn't necessarily mean something bad. There's a lot of positive schemes. You come up with a scheme, but it has a really negative connotation. Yeah, it really does. Don't forget about the Businessman Plan contest. It's coming to a close. And some of you are like, yes, finally, I'll stop talking about that every episode. That's almost done. I hope you guys get it in before the deadline. If you do not get it before the deadline, it won't be counted. Also, I'm really excited. I just hired someone to build the How to Build a Tent website. This is going to be a great place where I'm going to be doing some more podcasting on other topics as well and want to get you guys engaged in it. So hopefully we'll get some good heated debates, contentious topics to talk about and just get some good stuff like that. We're going to have a store where you can buy merchandise and some other really good stuff. So I'm really excited about that. Stay tuned about that news coming up and how you can get in on the action early. All right, let's get into this. So the 30 million people have been victims of fraud, according to this one statistic. And we're going to go through 12 ways that we've been impacted. Starting with number 12, we're going to work our way down because it just seems like a fun thing to do. All right, number 12, payroll fraud. And this is really important for you business people because this happens at businesses. 27% of all US businesses have had payroll fraud. Twice as likely to happen to businesses with less than 100 employees, so small businesses. You need to be informed. You need to have an understanding of the books. You need to have not only a trustworthy bookkeeper, but to have checks and balances. They talk about this in business school. They talk about this in your accounting classes. You need to have more than one set of eyes on the books because it's really tempting to be able to just siphon off a little bit of money through whatever means they do and kind of hide it and conceal it. And if you have people checking each other and having controls, as they call them, to make sure that this doesn't happen, you're going to be in a lot better shape. Especially as a small business owner and you can't afford to have more than one person looking at the books, you need to have enough of an understanding to see and recognize when something is just not right, when something isn't adding up. literally, because it's books of math, right? Books of numbers with a bunch of math. You need to be able to be aware of that. So be aware. That is one of the most common ways for fraud is payroll fraud, where people are siphoning off money, trying to get it so you don't notice it, and putting it into their bank accounts. Be aware of that. Have controls. Be involved. Ask questions. Make sure that you have trustworthy people that are controlling your money. I feel like that should be like an obvious thing, right? You should have trustworthy people that are in charge of your money. But apparently it happens. I mean, 20%, 27% of all U.S. businesses, don't be part of that 27%. Number 11, investment fraud, the Ponzi scheme, or the Madoff, as they call it. Bernie, he made off with tons of money and then got thrown into jail, also known as Social Security. Basically, you're promising a return, a lot of times a high return, a consistent return. It's really attractive. You're not going to get this anywhere else if you just invest this money. And what happens is that money that you're putting in is paying off people that have got into that scheme early on so that the scheme doesn't get made up or it doesn't get revealed. And it looks like people are getting money from their returns, but they're not getting returns on their money. They're getting other people's money. And then eventually, just simple math, the money's going to run out, just like Social Security. Apparently, Bernie Madoff goes to jail for it, but the people who created Social Security, still free. Well, yeah, they're probably dead. But you know what I'm saying. Some warning signs of a Ponzi scheme. Well, first of all, you should never fall for this, because when you are investing, we've talked about this, you treat it like a business. You're spending time doing research. You are getting as much information as you can. You're getting multiple sources. You're doing your homework. You're spending hours researching this so you don't fall into these traps. This won't be for you, but these are the signs for people to recognize them. High returns, little risk. Whenever someone says that, it's just not true. That's not how the world works. That's not how investing works. That's not how anything works. Don't fall for it. Consistent returns. There's nothing for sure in this life, right? Death, taxes, Jesus coming back. Paperwork irregularities. Wow, I almost did not say that correctly. Just like payroll fraud, is you want to be looking for these irregularities. Slow delivery of redemption. When you ask for your money and it doesn't get back to you in a reasonable amount of time, you know something's up. Investment is not registered with the SEC. Don't be investing your money with a company that's not with the SEC. I even like Robinhood, the startup app that I was pushing for a while to get you involved with, which I hope you love. I've got some good feedback on that. And also, you might want to check that out still. They're filed with the SEC. It's really you really want to be really careful if they are not in a financial institution is not registered with the SEC. And then complex strategies. And this is just a good rule of thumb, even if it's not a fraudulent scheme. If you can't understand the investment strategies that you are investing in, then don't invest in them. There are plenty of simple strategies that you can get your head around if you're not an advanced investor, if you don't have a lot of business savvy or investment savvy that you can get involved in. Don't ever put money in that you can't explain. Like if you explain to a friend, like, oh yeah, I'm investing in X and they do this, Y and Z. If you can explain Y and Z, then it's something that you could be investing in. If you can't explain Y and Z, then don't be putting your money into it. Number 10, charity fraud. This is also called the Clinton move, the Clinton Foundation, right? They do that too. And this is the tricky thing about it, is that they raise money the same way as legitimate charities, but a small portion of the charity actually goes to what they're raising money for. And this is exactly what the Clinton Foundation did, right? And that's why it all dried up when they stopped running for politics, or when Clinton lost. There's this one that is noted, Kids Wish Network, and I looked it up. It's still out there, and it's in Florida. 4% of the donations go to their cause. 4%. 96% go to the people running the charity or some kind of the operations of it, but only 4% go. Like some charities are up 100%. Like the good ones, I think, are 80, 90%. Go to the causes that they're supporting. And obviously, you know, you have to pay people that are like full-time staff, and there might be some really great CEOs that run the companies that you should reward so they stay. But when it's 4%, you know, there's something wrong there. And you can actually check them out. It's funny, their website's up, Kids Wish Network, and it looks like a normal website. So be careful of the charity fraud. Make sure you do your homework. Again, you want to be a good steward of your money, which means even doing your homework on when you give your money. You don't want to even give your money to places that aren't fraud, quote unquote, but go against our Christian values, go against your own values. You want to be supporting what God would want you to be spending your money on. Number 9, lottery fraud. There was 30,000 complaints of this by the FTC last year, and oftentimes this comes through a phone call or a postcard, so it's usually people like over 50, and they'll be like, you won! To claim your prize, send money to this address, send money to this bank account, and then you'll claim your prize. Whenever you have to send money to get a prize, there's something wrong with that. Normally what happens is you win the prize and then pay half of it in taxes, but you never pay money to get money when it's a prize. So be aware that $82 billion was lost worldwide in 2014 was the statistic on that. Number 8, debit cards and credit card fraud. And man, this is just prevalent. This is the one that I've got caught with twice, credit cards. I'm constantly scanning my statements, which you should be doing too, looking for irregularities, things, hey, I said the word right that time. Looking for purchases that we didn't make. And oftentimes you can see them pretty easily because it's like, hey, that looks weird. And one of them was Amazon. It wasn't Amazon that frauded me, but it was a scheme disguised as Amazon, which it looked similar. Like if you didn't see the other charges, because we buy a lot from Amazon, if you didn't see the other charges that were legit, you wouldn't think anything of it. But when you see what the real charge looks like on your statement and compare it to what this one was, it was obviously something was wrong. Called Amazon, they were really great. They had great customer service, called our bank and got it taken care of. We didn't lose any money because we were using credit cards, and there's a lot more protections with credit cards and debit cards. I don't know if you know that, but you should be using credit cards and not debit cards. I never use my debit cards unless I have to get cash out of the ATM. Okay, so this is a story that I found. This guy was claiming that his server took his card, went to the register, came back with the card and the receipt like normal. But what he didn't know is 2 days later, his bank called him to inform him that they were locking down his bank account because they suspected that it had been compromised. His card was used to buy goods more than 600 miles away. The agent believes that the server stole his card information and either sold it or used it themselves. And that is, I've heard that happening before. That's quite common. And it's interesting now, like banks are actually getting really good at this with leveraging big data, where if you are not making a normal purchase, they'll send you a text, they'll send you an email. Make sure you're signed up for those. Those are gonna be really beneficial. And sometimes I've had cards like decline where I've gone to a state for travel or whatever, and it's not typical of where I'm at. I'll get a text, I'll get an alert, and it's just easy, like do it again, go through the transaction after you confirm. Anyways, that is just really great technology. I'd really advise you to have your bank app have all the notifications about those kinds of things so that you can have instant control right to your phone. That's a great case for using technology. Number 7, mortgage fraud. And this happens a lot, one aspect of it happens a lot during downtimes and recessions where there's foreclosures. There's like these schemes where they'll rescue you from your mortgage, and there's ways where they trick you out of signing over your deed or giving a amount of money to them or trying to get the loan position. And that kind of gets into like the industry jargon. And if you own a house, maybe like you kind of know more of this than someone who doesn't own their house, but like you're modifying your loans. Now people will call you saying, hey, we can like reduce your payments so you can, you know, make your payments and you can cut your loan in half, and they'll all these like equity schemes. And usually this is the tricky thing about them is they're done by people who know the industry really well. And I mean, there's a lot of shitty people in the mortgage industry, a lot of I'll stop right there. But there's a lot of people that know the industry well that do these schemes and sometimes get away with it. Another popular one is wire fraud when you are buying a house, and this kind of goes with what we were talking about a few episodes ago about buying homes. You gotta be careful of this, is that sometimes people will get a hold of your email, get a hold of your phone number, and they'll claim to be your lender, they'll claim to be your settlement company, and they'll say, oh yeah, disregard those wiring instructions that you were given to pay at closing, and use this account. And it's not the account you should be using, it's their account. And they'll wire money to this false account, posing as the lender or the legitimate company. And people get duped by that all the time. Usually when you're buying a house, the wiring instructions that you were given are the only instructions you're gonna get. And it's usually done in a super secure way. This is a big problem. It's really hard to get your money back, and people are just out of money a lot of times because they wire money to the wrong people. Be really careful of that. Make sure that you've verified who you're sending your money to, always on the phone, on through the internet, through all the new technology that's coming out, through wiring, all those things. You need to make sure that wherever you're sending your money, the charities, that you know where it is going. Number six, the bond straw man redemption fraud. This is a funny one. It's like a conspiracy theory where they base it, or they sell the fact or the supposed fact that the US government controls all the banks. And they get you to buy a kit. And if you install this kit properly, then you can wipe out all your debt and you will be free of all of your responsibility with the debt that you have. And then when it doesn't work, if you can get a hold of them again, they'll say something to the effect of, oh, you just did it wrong. It was user error, which is kind of a funny one. I hope none of you would fall for that one. Come on, like the government controls all of the money in the banks. Come on. Number five. Healthcare insurance fraud. And this is a very common one because, like we talked about before, it is more than a two-party relationship in this industry. It's not just the doctor, the seller, and the patient, the buyer, but there's the government, there's insurance, there's your job. And whenever there's multiple parties involved like this, there is ripe for fraud because there are so many different moving parts and different people that don't know the whole story that it's easy to trick people. Like medical equipment fraud, where bills are created, where equipment is never sold. So they're selling the products that never get delivered and they're charging people for it, the insurance company, whoever it is. And they're getting away with money that way. The rolling lab scheme where they fake test and they get billed, they bill Medicare, insurance companies, whoever they can bill, and they'll just do these fake lab reports. And then service is not reported. So be careful of those. I guess it's not really a be careful kind of thing because that's between medical and insurance or the government, but just be aware of that. Number four, the advance fee schemes. And this is, they say 82 billion people went for this one. And this is a very, like it kind of, well, it doesn't kind of make sense. I guess I shouldn't say that, right? But like they will be advertising a product and you pay for it in advance. And I get, okay, so this is what I'm saying. So it kind of makes sense in the sense that like, oh yeah, you buy something and then it gets sent to you, like e-commerce, right? But you gotta, this again, be careful who you send your money to through wiring, through credit cards, through the technology, that it's a legitimate company because like the scheme, you send your money and the product never comes. And then, oh, they're out of business and you can't get a hold of them. And yeah, they were a company in Asia or Africa or somewhere offshore and you're never gonna see your money back. So be careful of that one. That is a pretty popular one. Know who you're doing business with, always. Number three, identity theft. Steal your identity. That's why I don't tell you my kids' names. That's why I don't share their birthdays. That's why I don't tell you how old they are. It's because I don't want my kids to have identity theft either. And again, getting some kind of service like LifeLock, like we have, would be very beneficial. And usually they don't catch, I mean, I don't get any alerts, but it's nice to know that they're monitoring your credit because credit is really important in this day and age, as a lot of you know. Number two, the Nigerian letter or the 419 fraud. And this is a funny one. I remember this one, actually. Someone in power has chosen to help you access money. But in order to get the money that they're going to share with you, you just have to pay the lawyer fees or you just have to pay the bank fee to get the money released and they'll give you some of the money. The millions of dollars that they have, they'll give you some. I love that one. And that was a really big one. I mean, it has two different names. You know it's legit then. And number one, can you guess what it is? Can you guess? It actually, I had this happen to me. I didn't fall for it. I didn't get caught up into it, but they attempted to a couple weeks ago. And I saw a lot of people on Facebook talk about it. Do you know what it is? 3, 2, 1. It's the telemarketing fraud. And I don't know if this happened to you. Did you get calls from Jordan? There was calls from Jordan going around. I saw tons and tons of people that were like, hey, who's calling me like 100 times at the middle of the night from Jordan? I got like 10 or 11 calls a day for like 3 or 4 days. I'm like, I don't know anyone in Jordan. I'm not going to answer that. Yeah, but telemarketing is a big opportunity for fraud, especially for people over 50. 55% of all the fraud that happens are to people over 50. And the other people under 50, they don't even answer their phone. So that's why it probably happens to the people over 50. I don't know who else answers their phone that are under 50. I mean, geez, like, we just have your cell phone and we text everyone, right? But $40 billion was lost in telemarketing fraud last year. So be aware of these things. Don't be fooled. And just remember some principles of how not to get scammed. Just simply remember, there's no such thing as easy money in business and investing and just life. And if you just have that principle in the back of your mind all the time, then you're not going to fall for these easy money scams, right? And the only person that can save you from your debt is Jesus. If you have that in mind, you're going to be just a lot more at peace. And you're not going to be falling for these tricks where you think you're going to get out of your responsibility, you're going to get out of your debt. The only one who's going to cancel your debt is Jesus. But thank God that he does. Amen? All right, with that, we'll talk to you next time. God bless.